We need a real investigation. I don't think we have one yet.
Yes, it's true. And yes, it is a crime.
Well, thank you, Cleta Mitchell. Thank you for that explanation. Really interesting and kind of appalling.
Thank you,
really.
Tucker.
Cleta Mitchell is somebody with great courage, and she's involved with your litigation and lawsuits and all of this stuff. She literally gave up her whole practice not to get paid. She saw how corrupt it was, how disgusting it was, how dirty it was. And I want to thank you on behalf of everybody in this room and everybody in this country. You are a hell of a lawyer and tough. And that's what we need.
I'm Cleta Mitchell, and I'm the host of Who's Counting with Cleta Mitchell. This is a podcast about all things having to do with elections, how elections should be run, how sometimes they're not run the way they're supposed to be run, and what we as citizens can do to influence and impact to make sure that our elections are run in the manner in which the legislature has decided and in accordance with the law. And I am very thrilled today to welcome back to our podcast someone who's been a guest previously, Christine Brim, who is the chair of the Fairfax County Election Integrity Task Force in Fairfax, Virginia. When Christine was with us before, she explained about how to start a local task force and the importance of local election integrity task forces and having citizen involvement in overseeing what's going on in the election offices and in the election process itself. And so right now, Christine has agreed to join us and be our guest. And so I'm very grateful to you, Christine, for coming back to talk with our audience.
Well, Cleta, thank you so much for having me. And this is an unfortunate cause for me coming back because we have a kind of computer breach crisis that has affected our community, our county, Fairfax County, and has also affected about 32 other localities across the country. We're fortunate that it's not more. And this is the, it just came out last week, although we've been pursuing it since August, the fact that a company called Connect, K-O-N-N-E-C-H, which produces a suite of applications called, all called Poll Chief. There's a variety of Poll Chief apps.
That's called P-O-L-L, as in going to the polls.
Going to the polls, right. And this, so the CEO of Connect was arrested October 4th last week by the Los Angeles DA. Arrested in Michigan. Los Angeles is trying to extradite him. And the reason is that he violated the Los Angeles contract by housing the data in China. Well, this is the least of the concerns, our registrar took action.
Okay. So, Christine, before you start about that, and you're right, the registrar and Fairfax County, Virginia took action. But I want to take us back to, because one of the reasons I really wanted to have you come and talk to people about this is because this, I think, is such a good example of what happens when you have a group of citizens who are engaged in the election process. You're at the election office, you've become familiar with the people there, and quite frankly, there was a change in the registrar. That's what the election administrator in Virginia is called. And because you became active more than a year ago. And so this task force has continued all throughout 2021, now through 2022. And so you're a presence, you're a permanent presence there. So let's go back to Connect is a company that is It is a Chinese company with a subsidiary in the U.S. U.S. company?
So Connect is incorporated in the U.S. in Michigan. It is a U.S. company. The founder and owner of Connect, Eugene Yu, has a parallel company, which he founded 3 years after he founded the U.S. company in China. And that company provides election management services as well for the Communist Party of China's National People's Congress, which is not a real Congress the way we understand the word. And he admitted on September 10th, that he had been indeed had software engineers in China and had databases in China that were producing and providing election management services and software engineering for the U.S. company, that they were offshoring it to China. So there's really no question on the veracity of all of this. The Connect itself is an election management software. So if you're using this in your community, or someone tries to get you to use it, it manages the assignments and the recruiting and the communications of election officers. We call them election officers where we are. Other places, they're poll workers, but these are the people that work just on election day. They're not the full-time staff. They're not volunteer poll watchers. They're the people that come in just on election day and they run the election. And so it managed every aspect of that. It was integrated with their training and outreach to them. It also has a module which is used to look at all of the polling places, to look at their connectivity, to geofence and geolocate them, as well as the poll workers, if you use that application, to do diagrams of every single polling place, architectural layouts. There's also an application which we were going to use but never really did in Fairfax, but they did purchase it, which is to keep track of every piece of equipment, every asset used in your election. So it was a scanner-based database. All of this appears to have potentially gone to China in one form or another, to the servers of a company which is providing equivalent services to the Chinese Communist Party's National People's Congress. So these two companies that Eugene Yu created, one in China, one in the US, were intermingled in many ways, it appears, based on the use of the same software servers and the same engineers. This was not a breach in Fairfax of personal sensitive information, because they kept social security numbers and bank accounts and all of the information required to pay an election officer, right? That was kept out of Poll Chief. Turns out that was a really good idea. Other localities have included those in Poll Chief. So if your community is using Poll Chief, you need to talk to your election registrar or whoever your administrator is and your electoral board right away. And we have an article that we put up that Clita can share, which shows what our registrar did.
We're going to have that link attached to this and tell people that they should definitely look at that. But I'm interested. So you became aware of Poll Chief when and its relationship to this company?
We became aware of Poll Chief and the relationship with the company back in 2021, because we were using it. Because as the party, we have the right under the law in Virginia to approve election officer applicants who claim that they're Republican. They self-affiliate as Republican. We don't register by party in our state, so they have to sign a statement. And so we have the right to vet them and to say whether or not we want them to represent the party. We used it all the time. It's extremely convenient and easy to use a software, integrated, entangled through as many aspects of the election system as they could entangle, and highly integrated, and they would customize it for every one of their customers as needed. And we found it very convenient, and used it to be able to reach out to those election officers to contact them to see if they were in fact Republicans. It did not occur to us that there was a problem here until early August, August 13th, when True the Votes, Catherine Engelbrecht, and Greg Phillips produced a live online briefing about Connect based on an investigation they'd been doing for over a year involving the FBI. It's a very complex investigation, and I don't want to go into the details of it because it's unclear sort of who did what, and that's still emerging and in litigation right now. But the fact that they put everybody's focus on Connect resulted in a virtuous cycle of all kinds of other researchers piling on across the country. And suddenly all of this information about the connections between the US company and this equivalent Chinese company were suddenly out and public within a week or two. And let me say, just pull back for a minute, what we need to look at is why was there so little due diligence at the county or state and particularly federal levels looking at this company, especially if the FBI knew about it for well over a year, but let us all keep on using it during this period of time. It makes the whole claim of federal, you know, prudence and due diligence in cybersecurity as to election equipment and election wear, laughable.
Because let me ask you this: Have you looked to see whether CISA, that's the cybersecurity information systems agency, security agencies, it's part of the Department of Homeland Security, and that was the agency that pronounced the 2020 election to be the most secure election in history. Has CISA issued anything about Connick?
Nothing, because Connick doesn't deal with voting equipment. It doesn't deal with poll books, and they aren't actually fully regulated either. They're just looking into regulating them. It isn't, you know, a ballot marking device. This was just how you manage people and assets. And so people didn't really treat, the agencies didn't really treat that as something which came under their purview. Any kind of infiltration or any kind of malfeasance done by a foreign actor is going to look for the cracks. They're going to look for the gaps between oversight. And this election management of election officers was clearly one of those gaps. And they just filled it. And I think that it's very useful software, because you always want to, you know, lead with the strength here. People took, and it was not terribly expensive either. And they had a, we did ask our county in August to reach out to CISA, to reach out to the Virginia IT agency and so on, and the State Board of Elections, and immediately escalate this, because we saw it as a national security issue. We knew that it was in more counties than our own. But for context here, our county is right outside of Washington, D.C. Mm-hmm. Poll Chief is also used by Washington, D.C. itself. Other two counties using it are just also bedroom communities for the federal government area, Loudoun County and Prince William County. So you begin to feel a little bit targeted at this point, that what they were doing, Poll Chief was doing, assuming that maybe this wasn't just coincidence, that they were targeting all of the counties that potentially had people volunteering or, you know, becoming hired as election officers who were also federal workers or were federal retirees. And this the data itself was, by and large, if they didn't have social security number and so on, relatively what you could find on Google, right? People search.
Mm-hmm, right.
You can even find emails. There's email search capabilities that are online. The problem isn't that. The problem is that the Communist Party of China, and their data gathering, has a vacuum approach. They just get everything, right? And then you can analyze it later. Grab it. It's grab and go. So this information was not necessarily meant to be used just on its own. It was meant to be used in combination with other data that had been achieved. And we would always think first of the Office of Personnel Management breach of literally millions of personnel records in 2014 that was done by China. Under the Obama administration is probably the biggest gap that we know of breach, but also defense departments have been breached. I mean, there's constant breaches of government data, and personnel files are the major target, as well as equipment and security. So I think that you always want to look at this not in the narrow way of a silo of just, gee, did this data go over there, as if it was just a theft by somebody planning on stealing your credit card and, you know, they didn't get it, so no problem. This is a much broader intelligence gathering effort, and this is a little tiny piece of it that we're seeing here.
So you've laid out the potential risk, and it is part of, I guess, what he was arrested for by the LA, Eugene Yu,
right.
Was arrested for was identity theft, because he stored the identity and the data about the election workers for Los Angeles County in China, which was in violation of their contract.
It's a very narrow premise for the arrest and for the extradition, but it opens up all of these other issues. And the researchers that are out there have done extraordinary work, absolutely proving, I think, the connections between the Chinese company and the U.S. company. And in fact, again, this document called The Truth About Connect, the Connect itself put up and then subsequently disappeared from the internet, said, yes, of course we have servers in China. Of course we have software engineers working on election activities in China. I mean, it was trying to do a modified, limited hangout, as we say, a slow reveal of the truth. Mm-hmm. Do we absolutely know for sure everything here? No, there's a great deal that we don't know. But the biggest puzzle, I think, is what did the federal government know? What did the intelligence community, the FBI know? And why were localities not notified of this risk so that they could get out of this product in a more gradual way, in a more methodical way than what we're having to do? And to their credit, county after county, including Fairfax County, is just ceasing using it. But that means all of the functionality right before a midterm election has to be done with emails and Excel and, you know, whatever else they can do. This is lots of sleepless nights for our staff, and I'm sure for other staff, over the last week.
Well, let's remember that Fairfax County started voting, 2 weeks ago?
Elections on the 23rd, September 23rd.
Already started. But I want to come back to something here, because I think that it's one of the reasons I think this is so important, is that you and your group of volunteers, and as you say, researchers around the country, but because you already were working in Fairfax County, you were able to and did take the initiative starting when? I mean, walk us through the schedule of the things that you took to the County Board of Elections, what they said, how, you know, sort of what happened each step along. There were multiple steps.
There were. And let me just backtrack slightly. We had a much more difficult relationship with our prior registrar. We got a new registrar in late March of this year, and he has been working very hard with his staff to increase transparency and to improve relationships. And we also have, under Governor Youngkin, our new Republican governor, appointed Susan Beals as our new commissioner of the State Department of Elections. And she has been issuing guidance after guidance that has improved transparency. So this has been an exciting year for us. The problem, of course, with transparency is you have to go copy the documents, right? But we even got the right to photograph where before we hadn't had it. So when this situation started in August, we were still clarifying some issues in terms of transparency, but we had established a good working relationship with the office and with the staff, much better than last year. And last year was, you know, much better than the year before. We have active teams doing all kinds of things down at the logic and accuracy testing with the equipment, copying documents from 2021 and 2020 before they're destroyed, copying current documents, scanning all kinds of undeliverable mail, which we can do under the National Voter Registration Act. So we're down there a lot. And also just in constant communications, trying to conform what we're doing. We do a lot of training of poll watchers. We have 264 precincts. We coordinate with the Fairfax County Office of Elections, so our training conforms to what they're actually teaching their chiefs and their supervisors as well. We want to teach the right thing. So that's the environment in which this bomb kind of went off from an informational point of view. And we said, oh my gosh, what are we going to do? So I immediately emailed them August 16th and said, you really need to escalate this. This is a problem. You have to take this seriously. And at that point, sent in also a Freedom of Information Act for any additional contracts. We already had, because we have an active Freedom of Information activity, already had the original contracts from 2016. This has been out since 2016 that our election officers' names, mailing addresses, and so on have been potentially going over to China, but certainly looked at. But the that didn't get a response. And so
we sent that in, and what got no response?
So August 16th, so the email didn't get a response, but we did get the contractual information back, and that was helpful. Following that on, I'm trying to think the sequence here, we again sent another email saying, no, you really need to take this seriously. And at that point, I think they were probably talking to their lawyers because we were getting fewer responses from them. Then on September 6th, we constructed a whole memo, which is linked from the article, about a 20-page memo, which really just aggregated data, screenshots, and so on from these wonderful researchers, Katakoa, Cognitive Carbon. They all work under pseudonyms over at Substack, but they had done, these were clearly very professional researchers with a lot of linguistic capabilities and also IT knowledge, who were trying to corroborate and did corroborate all of the information with these links to the Chinese companies. And we had a small research team, which was pulling this together of four people, just scanning the environment for additional research out there, which they do anyway. They're always scanning the environment for opposition situations, opposition groups, opposition publications in Virginia. So they focused on this. And that was tremendously helpful because we also could combine that with the contractual information that we had. So we knew now what actually was in our county because we had that through the contracts. And we knew the Chinese manufacturer of the scanners that they were potentially using because we had that through the contracts. But then we had all this other information coming in as well. And pulled that together, re-verified every single link. So we went back and revisited the links so that everything was firsthand, took our own screenshots.
I see.
Everything was so that we didn't send in anything that was uncorroborated by us. That we were told they would research the issues. So we turned it in to September 6th. Nothing happened. We emailed them again on the 19th with a link to this public statement that Connect had made, the truth about Connect, which they'd put up on the 10th. The day after we gave that to the registrar's office, it was pulled down. We had gotten a cached copy, which we then sent as a PDF to the registrar's office saying, look, you still have it. So we then met with them on the 26th in person. And we said, no, we're still concerned about Connect. You're not doing anything about this. And they said, the lawyers have told us we can't talk about this because, of course, by that time, True the Vote had been sued earlier in the month. And because there was ongoing litigation, they just had been told, don't talk about this at all. So I said, well, that's fine. You don't have to talk to us, but I'm going to keep emailing you because this is something you need to focus on. And please read the reports that we've given you. And at that point, nothing happened until October 4th. And with the arrest of Eugene Yu hitting the news, everything changed. Because now the Fairfax County lawyers, in some ways, were between a rock and a hard place. There was the arrest, which was the hard place. And there was the rock of all of the information that over the last prior month and a half, we had been sending their way saying, you really need to have this in front of you. So I think that persistence is important. When the Office of Elections was not getting us back to us, we felt that this was not necessarily their decision. We felt they were taking this somewhat seriously, quite frankly, but that the lawyers in Fairfax County were in a difficult position because pulling back right before an election, you know, was difficult. It was difficult to implement. We understood that. And it also meant admitting that there was a problem. And this is very typical. One of the biggest issues that happens with any kind of computer breach, either in the private sector or government or anywhere, is that it immediately makes people be concerned about liability, about notification to the people who may have had their information disclosed, and about the very fact that they had not done the due diligence, which was pretty basic in this case, that would have prevented the problem in the first place. So what happens is any bureaucracy immediately goes into a defensive crouch. Mm-hmm. And I don't feel the Fairfax County Office of Elections necessarily did that, but the county overall may have. At any rate, they stopped talking. But it is to their credit that starting October 4th, as soon as they knew of the arrest, they literally that night began through their purchasing agent communicating with Connect and canceled everything, downloaded all the data, made sure that Connect deleted the data, ceased using it in all ways, stopped all of the public-facing websites and so on.
Presumably they didn't keep copies.
Oh, well, I mean, right. asking you, right. it's this barn door is shutting years after the horse has gotten out.
So I think the most important thing here that I want to reiterate, I hope people will understand, is I want to go back and restate exactly what you said, that your engagement and involvement of these citizens in your task force with the election office for over a year, and your knowledge of and familiarity. I mean, you built a working relationship with the registrar, with the election board members, electoral board members, I guess they're called in Fairfax County. And then the fact that as you gathered this information, that you double checked everything, you confirmed everything before you sent it on, and you specifically asked them to look at the information and to do something about it. And you were polite. You were right. You were persistent. And that's what we tell people. Be right, be polite, and be persistent. And I just want to applaud the work. This is hours and hours and hours of work that you're condensing into just a few minutes to share with us. But it's just so important. What you're doing is so important. And I'm particularly interested in, one of the things I've really learned over the last couple of years that I hadn't realized is the extent to which not so much I hadn't really focused on foreign companies, but I have focused on the number of entities and companies and vendors that have been established by left-leaning partisans who now they're embedded in the election office. There are so many different ones of them. And it's almost as though they've become a shadow part of the election process. So can you talk about that for just a moment as well? Well,
absolutely. And let me add that as that other counties across the country have focused on this as well. I mean, LA County began looking at this. And part of the interesting emergence from this is, and this kind of leads into what you're asking, but there is now a better relationship between these independent researchers and the local counties, mm-hmm. so that the research is reaching us very quickly, right? We're beginning to have a kind of communications network. And I think True the Vote helped make that happen, but it just kind of organically emerged as well, so that the ability to affect change at a local level, taking research that's coming out nationally, whether it's from your organization or from others, is speeding up. We're taking that supply chain of information to action, knowledge to know-how, and we are shortening that. And that's hugely important. Unfortunately, we're playing catch up with the left, because the left has done this
for a decade.
That thing for decades. Yeah. And they are indeed deeply embedded in localities. We have a group, the Voter Participation Center, and the
Center for Voter Information.
Citizens for Voter, yes, right. Center for Voter Information. And they email out absentee ballot applications across the state. They do extensive voter registration. We have the problem now of the federal agencies, as you know, getting, I mean, right. You all have been very active in trying to publicize this, getting deeply involved in Get Out the Vote and voter registration towards targeted
with our tax voters. Money. With our tax
dollars. With our tax money. Absolutely. Absolutely. We're and we're seeing that as well as in Virginia, our DMV relationship with voter registration has a lot of problems. I'm going to put it that way. Our voter registration system itself is put together with bubblegum and baling wire at this point. It's right. On its last days. The RFP has been delayed 2 years to try and replace it. We are limping along in Virginia on infrastructure at this time. The DMV just revealed, I think, 120,000, 140,000 registrations, voter registrations had been delayed. So those are all being shuffled onto our registrars now right before an election. It's sort of a perfect storm in certain counties. And look, to our registrars' merit and their staff, most of them are just managing. I mean, they're managing. It's a hugely stressful time, but they're dealing with it. And we would like to get legal reform through in next year. And when we take the Senate in Virginia, we hope to be able to do this in 2024, that will get rid of our 45-day longest in the nation voting season, that will get rid of same-day registration, which is hitting us now this year for the first time, that will, we put in Fairfax alone, we had some 60,000 people put onto a permanent absentee ballot list. And the law in 2021, they passed it, did this by default. It moved anybody who was on an absentee list over onto a permanent absentee list. And so our poll watchers, every single shift, are reporting people coming in saying, I got this absentee ballot. I have no idea where it came from. I didn't ask for this. And they're told, oh, well, you were put on the permanent absentee list. You didn't have to make any effort. Well, if those people don't ask, you know, don't bring their ballot, if they don't know to bring it and surrender it on election day, they have to vote provisionally. There is a form of voter suppression, which is not letting people vote the way they want to vote by forcing them to vote with this absentee ballot. And so we would like to change that in the legislature as well and make it opt-in, not opt-out. So there's a lot we need to do by these left-wing groups in combination with our Democrat legislature in Virginia that have created, frankly, huge burdens, huge risks to the integrity of our elections and real burdens to the implementation and operations of our elections by our local registrars.
It's almost as though it's planned chaos. And one of the things that we have learned from so many states through the primaries in 2022 is that because of the sheer volume of mail voting, that's M-A-I-L, mail, voting by mail, that it is absolutely impossible to confirm the identity of the voters who are voting by mail. That's just not feasible, not through the post office and the postal system, not through having observers looking at every application or being able to have access to looking in at the ballot carrier to see if that is there's no way to verify the identity. So I really think I want to start a national campaign that there must be categories of eligibility in order to vote by mail. And everybody else has to vote in person. Because if we don't do that, then we have this colossal chaos in the election offices, dumping voter registrations, dumping tens of millions of pieces of paper, where you have organizations who are pre-populating the information, the voters' information, and dumping people into voting by mail when they never asked for it. I mean, it is, you're right, it is a voter suppression system that, and it is chaotic. And the one thing that we know is that out of chaos comes opportunity for bad things to happen. And so I really wanted you to have the opportunity. I wanted to have the opportunity for people to hear what you all had done in conjunction with many, many others, but that ultimately, where the rubber meets the road is taking the information and getting something done in the local election office. And you've really demonstrated the importance of that. Unfortunately, the bureaucracy wouldn't have acted on its own. I don't think they would have acted on their own.
I think eventually they would have. In 2023, they wouldn't have renewed the contract, but it would have not been, it would have stayed in place through the election. And I think some places may choose to do that. I know DeKalb County,
Georgia,
is another user of PollChief. But, you know, it is not just a team. It's the fact that this is a growing team. This is a growing team in Fairfax. The coordination across Virginia is there. We work and communicate and get ideas from people in other states, in part due to the wonderful efforts that you've made. And then we have these outside groups that are just these one-off researchers like Kanakoa, who suddenly provide tremendous information. And the counties, these election integrity working groups, are poised and have the capability to take that information and turn it into something operational locally. And this is just kind of organically happening. But it's extremely effective. Little by little, we're kind of learning how to do this.
Well, it's organic, but it's also, there is a framework for being able to take action. And that framework is what we call the Virginia model, which is a statewide coalition. And then the local task forces and all the working groups and the volunteers within the local task forces. Where can people find the report that you have written or that was posted that is the summary of the work that
it's linked from the article? Okay. So I can give you the direct link to give that to you, or you can just, if people will go to the article, it's the top post at fairfaxgop.org. If you go to fairfaxgop.org, there's an article there, information for election officers on Connect. And it's just a very factual, straightforward article. Our major focus, frankly, was to let our election officers know what was happening to the extent that we could inform them through the party and give them some kind of update on this information. And again, they just need to have the facts. It's not, we don't want to, you know, alarm people, but they do need to have the information.
Well, and I do think that it is important that we start thinking about and getting local election offices and state election offices to make sure that there are certain provisions in any contracts with any vendor, particularly in the technology area, absolutely, that the data cannot be stored out of the country, which actually I think is the basis on which the LA County District Attorney was able to make the arrest, because they had that provision.
That's very smart.
Yeah. And we ought to think about what other things. And I, of course, I'm not a technology person, but I certainly believe very strongly that it's important to have people who are knowledgeable about technology in every local election integrity task force so that they can understand how it all works and that they have relationships with the IT director in the county or the city or in the election office. So there's a lot of work that we need to do, but I wanted to highlight the importance of your work, and it's an example for all of us. So thank you so much for all you do, and thank you for spending some time with us.
Take care.
Thank you. And that concludes this episode of Who's Counting with Cleta Mitchell. We hope that you will share this episode with your friends. We know that big tech likes to silence us. We hope they won't silence this episode, because this is all factual. It's all based on very well-researched and documented facts. But thank you so much for joining us. If you have not yet signed up to be a poll watcher or a poll worker in your county, in your city, in your state, then you need to go to our website. Go to www.whoscounting.us. There's a sign up there. There's a link to the DNC and the RNC's database to sign up to be a poll worker or poll watcher. Everybody who hears this needs to be involved in protecting the election system in our country. So there's no excuse. The time is now. We hope you'll get involved and engaged. And with that, we say thank you. And that concludes this episode. Thank you for listening to Who's Counting. The Who's Counting podcast is produced by the Conservative Partnership Institute's Election Integrity Network. It is filmed and recorded at CPI Studios in Washington, D.C. Help us grow this show by sharing this episode with a friend, and be sure to subscribe and to give us a good review. We need your word of mouth, because big tech can't be trusted and tries to cancel us daily. Help fight back by visiting whoscounting.us and sign up for this podcast, for our newsletter, become part of the Election Integrity Network.